وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. بارك الله فيك حضرت مولانا سليم صاحب. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his choicest blessings on you. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhin istafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. فاستقم كما أمرت ومن تاب معك ولا تطغوا إنه بما تعملون بصير. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio and Ansar International, tonight the recitation of the 12th para took place in the 11th Taraweeh in the month of Ramadan, and we will be just discussing some important aspects that was recited in the Taraweeh tonight. So this para consists of two surahs, Surah Hud and Surah Yusuf, and it commences explaining the greatness of the Quran with regards to its verses, meaning and contents. The Quran Majid is a strong, unshakable book. No form of error or corruption can come into it, nor is there any discrepancy or inconsistency found in it. I mean, you can see the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the Quran Majid is recited during the months of Ramadan all over the world. And the Huffaz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen, and Allah has taken the responsibility upon Himself. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ. You know that we have sent this Quran Majid, we have revealed it. وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. And we will safeguard it. So indeed, this is an unshakable book, absolutely true. The reason for it being so unshakable and strong is that its detail and explanation has come from that being, from Allah, who is all wise and all knowing. His every command is based on some wisdom, and is fully aware of man's past, present, and future conditions, as well as his psychology, weaknesses, and necessities. So after mentioning the greatness of the Book of Allah, there is a call to Tawheed, which is the basis of belief and conviction. Thereafter, the proof of Tawheed are mentioned, which are spread out in the whole universe. We are informed that the sustainer of the entire creation is only Allah, whether it be to humans or jinn, animals or birds, fish living in water, or insects crawling on the earth. Only Allah Ta'ala has created the heavens and the earth. However, those people who do not ponder over these proofs, and those who have placed a plaster of stubbornness and obstinacy on the eyes, they deny Tawheed and deny accepting the Quran to be the speech of Allah. So these deniers are challenged. If the Quran is in reality some human effort, then they should create and produce just 10 surahs likewise. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Am yaquluna iftara? Do they say that the Quran Majid has been fabricated? Qul fa'tu bi ashri suwarin mithlihi muftariyat. Then come forth with 10 surahs similar to it which have been fabricated. Wad'u man istata'tum, and call upon whomever you desire within your capability, min dunillah, besides Allah, in kuntum sadiqin, if you are truthful in your claim. So the deniers have been challenged thrice in the Quran. The first time they were challenged to bring something similar to the whole Quran. The second time to bring only 10 surahs. And the third time, which is mentioned in Surah Baqarah, to bring just one Samana surah. However, all three times they were unable to accept this challenge. Besides this, other important points mentioned in Surah Hud are: man is divided into two groups. The first group are those people for whom the sole objective of their lives, actions, and toils is only to acquire this world. من كان يريد الحياة الدنيا وزينتها نوفي إليهم أعمالهم فيها وهم فيها لا يبخسون. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who desire the life of this world and its splendor and beauty, then we will give it to them, you know, with their actions in this particular world, whatever they desire. وَهُمْ فِيهَا لَا يَبْخَسُونَ And herein in the world, they will not be given anything less. But أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَيْسَ لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا النَّارِ And they, and for them, لَيْسَ لَهُمْ in, there's nothing, no share for them in the hereafter except the fire. So at all times they are concerned about making this world more and more comfortable for themselves. They do not remember the hereafter even by error. So the second group are those fortunate people who make effort also in this world, but the basis of their efforts is the hereafter. Allah make us amongst that group. Keeping the hereafter in mind, they pass this worldly life. The example of the first group is of blind and deaf people, where the example of the second group is of those people who have been bestowed with the blessings of sight and hearing. One style of the Quran Kareem is that after refuting the thoughts of the Kuffar and Mushrikeen by means of proofs, the incidents and narratives of the past Anbiya and their nations are mentioned. By doing so, the proofs are strengthened and diversity is created in the speech. So man's nature likes diversity. Just as Allah Ta'ala has kept diversity in His signs in the universe, in the physical and material world, similarly has taken it into consideration in His shari'i signs. Look around this physical world. At every moment, wherever you look, the sights, seasons, and times are changing. Somewhere there is a flower, somewhere a thorn, somewhere a high mountain, somewhere a piece of flat land, somewhere violent waves of the ocean, somewhere flying dust particles. Sometimes it is cold, sometimes it is hot, sometimes it is summer, sometimes winter, sometimes spring, and sometimes autumn. Sometimes it's the morning, sometimes the afternoon, and sometimes the evening. So similarly, in the legislative world, the subject matter continues changing. Laws and information with proofs, incidents, and narratives, together with advice, the spectacle of Jannat and Jahannam, together with glad tidings, warnings, and together with promises, threats, are mentioned side by side. The speech continues changing from one style to another, one spectacle to another, one incident to the next, and one subject to another. The reciter and listener never falls prey to tiredness. So a glimpse of this special style of the Quran is clearly seen in Surah Hud. First, the truthfulness of the Quran, as well as proofs of the truthfulness of Tawheed and Risalat are mentioned. Thereafter, the narratives of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam. Now, this is also mentioned in quite a bit of detail in the Noble Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, you know, that he must make an ark, a boat, a ship. وَصْنَعِ الْفُلْكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا Under our watchful eye, you must make it. And then the story goes on to say that, you know, they're all boarded onto this year, and his son was obstinate, rebellious, and he says, no, I'll go onto a high mountain and I will be saved. And there came this flesh of a wave, and then he was washed away. Then the stories of Hazrat Hud alayhi salam, Hazrat Salih alayhi salam, and then Hazrat Lut alayhi salam is also mentioned. فَلَمَّا جَاءَ أَمْرُنَا جَعَلْنَا عَلِيَهَا سَافِلَهَا وَأَمْتَرْنَا عَلَيْهَا حِجَارَةً مِنْ سِجِّيلٍ مَمْدُودٍ Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when our command had come, then we made the top into the bottom. Allah raised the earth, and then it was turned upside down. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala molded clay, was just stones came raining down on them, and they were marked actually. And so what happens is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed these people of Hazrat Lut alayhi salam who were involved in sodomy. So all these narratives are brought to prove wahi, the truthfulness of the Nabuwat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to show the miraculous nature of the Quran. The mushrikeen of Makkah knew well that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an ummi, unlettered, neither could he read, nor was he aware of the method of writing, and nor was he the student of any teacher. However, in spite of all this, mentioning all these narratives so correctly in such a fine and perfect detail was not possible without divine revelation. So in order to turn our attention to this point, after mentioning the incidents of the Anbiya and messengers, the Quran generally discusses wahi, revelation, and nabuwat. So in this surah, at the end of the narrative of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala states, these incidents and narrations are from the information of the unseen which we revealed to you. Neither you nor your people knew of it from before. Thus be patient. The final outcome is only in favor of the Allah fearing. Then also after the incident of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam and Harun alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala states, these are from the incidents of those villages which we relate to you. Some of them remain and some of them have been completely destroyed. Then after mentioning these incidents, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is commanded to be steadfast, which in reality is a command to the whole ummah. Steadfastness is one such law which is related to belief, speech, actions, and character. It is no easy thing, but in fact a very difficult quality which the special servants of Allah Ta'ala attain. First, taqim kama umirta. The meaning of istiqamat, steadfastness, is that one's whole life must be passed in accordance with those teachings which Allah Ta'ala has commanded. Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that no verse more severe than this verse was revealed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba ikram on one occasion saw a few white hair on the blessed beard of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they said, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, old age is coming quickly. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Surah Hud and others similar to it have aged me. So the ulama mentioned that he was referring to this verse in Surah Hud, wherein he was commanded to be steadfast. So the ulama, you know, they have regarded istiqamat and steadfastness as something that is very, very, very important. So keeping in mind the importance of steadfastness and making dua to Allah Ta'ala to acquire it, it is necessary to ponder over the incident of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, in which Fir'aun is criticized in the following words. He say Allah Ta'ala says, and like this is the punishment of your Rabb when he punishes disobedient nations. Verily his punishment is very painful and very severe. So alhamdulillah, there also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes a nation, you know, and we learn this from the noble Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us what to act on and what to refrain from. When any nation, two evils creep into them, Allah punishes them. So there does not remain any concerned and intelligent people amongst them who prevent them from disobedience and evils. And then these people exceed the bounds in sin and luxurious living, basically. You know, they just want to enjoy the pleasures of this world only. So for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the people of Iman, after the above mentioned narratives, consolation, patience and steadfastness have been mentioned in the last few verses of this surah. Then we go on to Surah Yusuf, and Surah Yusuf is one surah in which the story hasn't had any repetition like many other verses of the noble Quran. So, you know, you'll find new words in the Quran, new construction of sentences, new lessons and new advices. And they are spread out in the Quran in the form of small, beautiful pieces. Now, Surah Yusuf is a little different. The whole story of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam is mentioned in one whole chapter. And if you look at the comprehensiveness, it encompasses many different subjects, religious matters, worldly matters, you know, Tawheed, Fiqh, as well as history, biographies, the interpretation of dreams, as well as the secrets of government and politics, men's psychology, as well as planning for good economic conditions, the result of beauty and illicit love, as well as the assistance of Allah Ta'ala due to abstinence and piety. The Anbiya mentioned, as well as the angels and the shayateen, men and jinn, as well as birds and animals, the conditions of kings, businessmen, learned and ignorant people, as well as the immorality, scheming and plotting of women who have deviated from the right path. So in this narrative, there is a mention of the ups and downs of life, obscurity as well as fame, poverty as well as wealth, honor as well as disgrace, patience and firmness, as well as the servitude of desires. And one great beauty found in this narrative is that in it the whole map is drawn of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his adversaries with regard to their present and their future conditions. Inshallah, we shall discuss this tomorrow in the continuation of the next para. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of learning, you know, from these and ayats of the noble Quran, and to apply ourselves in such a way that we do not bring about the wrath of Allah and we invite the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Ameen. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.